Okay, we're beginning Simen Reish Mem Gimel, which is called Din Hamaskir Soda, someone who rents a field, Umirchatz or bathhouse, Laini Huda to a non-Jew. So we just started the introduction, so we're going to, of the Piskei Tshuvas. Let's just do it again quickly, where we started, and then finish it up, and then we're going to do the Mishnah Berurah's introduction. If we get that done today, I would be satisfied. Okay, so we're talking, he says that the next number of simonim, I believe it's 10 simonim, well, almost, till Reish Nun, no, it's till Reish Mem Tes, about 5 or 6 simonim. Okay, it's all one thing, so we got to get it solid right to begin. So, number one, he says, you have to know that this simon, again, this simon that we're going to learn, Reish Mem Gimel, is speaking about someone who owns a business, some type of profit-making business. And the discussion is, how is it possible for the business to keep running and he can make profits on Shabbos without violating the Shabbos? That's question number one. That's this simon. The next simon is speaking about a person who wants a non-Jew to do work for him, not in his business, but work for him. Let's say build something in his house or something. That's not a business. We're not talking about where you're trying to make profits, but you want the non-Jew to do things for you personally. How is it permissible through a non-Jew or not? Okay? And therefore, the terms that are going to be used will have opposite meanings depending on the context. That's why you got to be careful. And there's certain terms. There's a term called schirus and a term called kablonus. And you're going to see that those terms are going to change, and the halachas will change based on that. When we're in this siman, Reish Mem Gimel, schirus, which means renting out, that will be a reason to permit the non-Jew to do it, as we will explain. But on the other hand, the term kablonus, where you're basically paying him for the job, we'll see, will be a reason to say it's not allowed. While in Simen Reish Mem Daled, schirus is a reason to say it's prohibited, while kablonus is going to be a reason to say it's permitted. So that's why it's going to be confusing. Okay, why? Because when we use the term schirus in this simen, Reish Mem Gimel, the understanding is that the person is renting out the business to a non-Jew in exchange for a specific amount of money that the non-Jew gives him every year, every month, or every week. Okay? So we will see that that is permitted. Let's say you have a property that every year makes money by whatever it does, okay? And you say, listen, I'm going to rent the property to you, Mr. Non-Jew, and you're going to do with it to make the profits, and you're going to pay me rent, all right? So generally speaking, that's permitted, even though it's on your property, but you can do that. Or let's say, like a sharecropper, you give the non-Jew a portion of the profits and the portion you take. It's also permitted because we'll see that the non-Jew is really working for himself in order to make himself more prosperous. There's no problems if there aren't other issues of Maris Ayin, rabbinic issues, where Jews would think that's not the case and they think he's working for you, etc., etc. But in places where that's commonly done, where these properties are commonly rented, then there's no suspicion and that's permitted. Okay, but let's say we have an idea of kablonus in this simon. What does it mean when it says kablonus? Where a guy is renting out workers that should be working in his business and they don't get a part of the profits, but he pays them a certain amount of wage that's set up for their work. And all the profits go to the Jews. So if you own a property, whatever, you have a business, and you have a worker, and you pay him every day he works in your place, he gets paid, and you keep all the profits. All right? That's just a regular worker. You have a regular business that's open. We're not talking we rented it out to him. Mm-hmm. You own it every single day, and he is paid a specific amount every day, regardless of how successful he is, right? His regular weekly paycheck. But all the profits go to the Jew. That is called kablonus, because the worker is not obliged to work a certain amount, as it were, but according to how he
wants. He's not making a profit out of the business.
He's not.
Okay, that's what it is.
Right? And, you know, and he wants to just open it up, and that's part of the job, and he's doing the job of it. The rabbi said that's certainly not allowed. Certainly not allowed. Even if the Jew does not give him a direct command to open up the door on this day, he does it every day. The non-Jew goes in every day at 8 o'clock in the morning, opens up the store. He doesn't have to be told anymore. No. That's his job. And he starts doing things that, if a Jew did it on Shabbos, it would not be permitted, right? And he's doing it on his own. Let's say he can, but the problem is, since all the profits go to the Jew, so he's like a messenger of the Jew, and it's like he's working for him directly, and that is a no-no. So that's interesting. Schirus and kablonus in this siman. We've got to keep remembering that. If I rent out the property to him and I have nothing to do with the property, all I do is I get a monthly rental check. That's it. So the non-Jew, he's working for himself. If he does everything, and instead of a rental check, I'm getting a percentage of the profits. It's in lieu of a rental check, but the non-Jew is doing it on his own. He's doing because he wants to make profit. The non-Jew doesn't go in, he doesn't make any money. While if he's a hired worker, he's not making any profits, right? So now who's he doing it for? He's doing it all for me. You can't say, well, he's doing it to get his weekly salary. No. That's already been taken care of. He's doing specific things as an agent of the Jew, and the Jew is making more profit based on what the non-Jew does, and the non-Jew only has that in mind. He has in mind that he's everything that he's doing is profiting the other fellow. All right, that's in Resh Mem Gimel. However, in Resh Mem Dalid, it's something else now. We are hiring a worker that he should do his work, and you pay him according to the hours and the days that he works for you. So you can't have him working for you on Shabbos, because again, he's like the agent of the Jew who receives his wages because of the specific hours that he works for you to do things for you. So that's a case of schirus and not kablonus, as it is. And if you don't, and even if you only pay him at the end of the month or the end of the year, and you, even if you don't even tell him to work on Shabbos, let's say you want him to build a house for you. You want him to build a house. You hire a contractor. He's going to build a house for you. Okay, here you're going to get at the end of the deal, I don't know, a couple $100,000 for building the house. And I'm hiring you out for that. You can't do that because he's doing it totally for the Jew. Even going to say the non-Jew plans on making money. He's doing it because he wants to make money, but he's doing that specifically for you, and that thing for you is happening because okay. Still in all, he's considered like an agent of the Jew, and it doesn't matter when you're considered an agent, it doesn't matter whose benefit it's for. Either way, he's an agent of the Jew. In other words, instead of me building it, you're building it. That's all there is to it. Instead of me building it, you're building it. So that is not allowed. Okay, kablonus in Simen Reish Mem Dal. The intention is, you give the work to a give a job to a craftsman, and when he finishes the job, then I will pay him. I tell, okay, I want you to make a suit for me. Okay, I'm going to pay you $1,000 for the suit, and this is the job. I want to see it in 3 weeks. Okay, that's what the term kablonus means. In the next simon, okay? So therefore, you don't have to work for me on Shabbos. I don't care when you do it. You just have it ready for me in 3 weeks. Okay? So, and the time, the deadline is made, is not such a deadline that would force them to work 24/7 for the entire month, where there's no other way but to work on Shabbos. So there, the non-Jew is allowed to work for the Jew on Shabbos, as long as people, there's no issues with Maris Ayin, where the people, you send them in his Italian, you go downtown, where there's no Jews, and, you know, Tony's apparel is making your suit, you know, then I don't care. He could work on Shabbos. I'm not asking him to work for me on Shabbos. The goy is working for himself. He's choosing himself to work on Saturday, and I haven't asked him to work on Saturday. I really just want the suit at the end of the day.
But this, isn't it the same with the builder?
Yeah, that's right.
No.
What's the distinction?
Because he's, well, he has to get it done. No, I'm paying him to work on Shabbos. Yes, I'm paying him to work on Shabbos. Yes, and part of the job is you work on, you open the store on Shabbos. It's one of your, you know, you work 7 days a week.
It's building a house for me. Okay.
And the intention is, yes.
I don't tell him to work on Shabbos.
No, he has to work on Shabbos.
Why does he have to?
Because that's what the job is. That's what the work is. That's what he's saying.
What about the pants, the suit? Maybe he has to work on Shabbos too to do it.
No. If I have a store, right?
No, not the store. Talking about building a house.
Okay, what did I say? I shouldn't have given that example.
No.
I shouldn't have given that example. I meant to say he's opening up the store.
No, a store or something else.
Okay, I think that's...
That's clear. No,
he's
that's
opening
clear.
Up the store, so now, and he's getting, you know, he's getting paid, but he's generating the profits for you, right?
Yeah.
So, if you tell him to build a house, I shouldn't have said that.
No.
If you're willing to build a house, so fine, he's building it whenever he's going to build it for you.
That's right. You only know that you have to have it done on the finish in
yes.
months.
Yes, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Fine, okay. Now, Simon Reish Mem Hey speaks about partners in a business. You're a partner with a goy, and how you deal with that. And Simon Reish Mem Vav, to lend or rent items to a non-Jew. You rent him your cow on Shabbos. Okay, so these are the four different issues with the goyim over here. Okay? What?
Because your cow cannot work either.
So we'll see when it's permitted, when it's not. So he says there isn't any safer. You look at any safer. Everyone has all kinds of complicated discussions on this. And he says, and after the end of all of the learning, he says the final decisions were given to the rabbis of each and every generation, based on how they felt the laws of Shabbos were being kept or not, based on the customs of their generation. And therefore, you should be careful not to be too lenient, even though there may be, according to the letter of the law, it is permitted, but we can't be too lenient on that. So we don't start breaking the walls and doing things where it's not lenient. And therefore, they were strict in a lot of areas, because it's very easy to slip into the area that it's prohibited. Okay, and also sometimes you shouldn't be strict, if you're strict when you should be lenient, it can also come out to bad things, because a person wouldn't be able to stand up to the test of it. If you're overly strict, it's also not good, and then you end up desecrating even more. Okay. Okay, he says, and this is very challenging. If you're in business, you could stand to lose a lot of money. So it's big tests, and if you hold up to those tests, you get a great reward. Okay, that's his introduction. Now let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah's introduction. Okay, now we can look inside the book. Where did he go? That's it. 1 second. Well, Yask here. 1 minute. Oh, that's it. Okay. Okay, now let's go to the Hakdam. So you see that first paragraph there?
Yep.
Okay, lo yaskir. He says, he's focusing now in this simon only now. Da sheshloshe chilukim yesh. You should know there's three differences in this simon when we're dealing with the work of a non-Jew. We're going to discuss in this chapter the difference between a non-Jew working in your field that or versus in your bathhouse. Okay? And we got to understand the different things that can happen here. So, echad hu arisus. The first is called arisus, which literally means sharecropping. Shesocher le'ena Yehudi, that you rent out to the non-Jew, shiyasa malocha b'sara b'merchatz, that he is fully in charge of doing all the work in your field or in your bathhouse. The Jew does not pay him a set amount, but they're like partners, as it were. Vaharavachim, and the profits in the bathhouse, the money that's collected, ohaperos, or the fruits of the field that are harvested, yachloku, they split it up. That's one scenario. That's called arisus. You don't walk into the field ever. You have nothing to do with it. You're expecting, or the bathhouse, you're expecting at the end of the year to be given a certain amount of crops, or cash for the crops, or you want cash at the end of the day for the bathhouse. That's one situation. Hasheni, the second situation, who? Schirus. Schirus is renting. She'ena Yehudi, no tel kolor of Ahaperes, the non-Jew who rents it from you gets all the profits, everything. V'nosen liYisrael, and he gives a Jew for renting it out to him, avur sadeu for his field, umer chatzo, or his bathhouse, Dover Kotzuv, a set amount, L'chol Shana, every year. He pays him a rental. Doesn't matter if the non-Jew makes a lot of money, a little money, pays a set rental. The first case is the Jew will get based on how much profit the non-Jew makes. Second case is it's a straight amount, doesn't matter what kind of profit. Now, Hashnei Chilukim Eli, these two scenarios that we've just described, Mutorim Baseda Lagamri. If it's a field, it's totally permitted to do either one. A non-Jew may have the non-Jew sharecrop his field. He may rent his field to him, as will be explained. And even rabbinically, there's no issue. No one's going to say that maybe. Now, there's always a third possibility. Now, think like this. A Jew has a field, okay? His fellow Jews are taking a Shabbos walk, Shabbos afternoon. They're walking by his field. Everyone knows it's the Jew's field. That's clear. They know it's the Jew's field. You see a goy working in the field. Now, there's three possibilities of why he's working in the field. Number one, he's a sharecropper, and that's totally permitted. Number two, he's rented out the field. It's totally permitted. Number three, no, he's just a hired hand who's working on Shabbos, which is totally not permitted. Now, the fact is, let's say I sharecropped or I rented out the field, it's okay, and we're not going to think that when Jews walk by, they're going to think the worst, that he's working for the Jew, because it's the normal thing in those days of the Gemara. It was very normal to have sharecropping and rental of fields, and there's no reason to assume the worst. So that's why they may do those things. So that's important. You've got to pass two thresholds for a non-Jew to work for you. Threshold number one, it's got to be permitted for him to do it, and you're not transgressing the having the goy working for you, and it's very complicated how you determine that. And number two, that there's no suspicions that, although maybe what you're doing is correct, but people will think you're doing something that's prohibited. You've got to cross both thresholds. So since with a field, it's normal to rent out a field. It's normal to have a sharecropper. So, and it's most often that, so there's no reason to assume the worst. However, b'merchatz, when you're doing this in a bathhouse, you're renting out your bathhouse for a year to the goy, or he's the manager, and you're just splitting the profits, then even though it's allowed rak medina, only according to the letter of the law, because you still are not transgressing Shabbos, why? The ein yehudi, because the non-Jew, he's working adaita denafshe, he's working for himself. He's doing it, every effort he makes is for himself to make more money. In other words, he's not working for the Jew. When he pays rental, right, the Jew says, listen, I'm getting $1,000 a year. I don't care what you do. The goy says, well, the more I work, the more money I'll make. All right, so the goy is not my shaliach. He's not my messenger. I'm getting he doesn't have to work on Shabbos. I'm still getting the $1,000. A sharecropper, listen, he wants to work on Shabbos to want to make more money. Okay, I'll get a little bit more percentage, but he's not working for me because we just agreed to the percentage. As long as he gives me the percentage, whatever. If the goy does not work any Shabbos and any yontif and there's less profit, I'm very happy to get a less percentage. That's all. So I'm not telling him to work for me. So that's okay. However, but the rabbis prohibited those two cases in a bathhouse, b'merchatz, mishum maris ayin, because it looks bad, mipnei denikris al shmo, because the bathhouse is called Shloimeh's bathhouse. That's it, Shloimeh's bathhouse. Sign on the thing, Shloimeh's bathhouse, right? And the yavo, people will come, l'chashto, will suspect that it's the prohibited cases happening. So the non-Jew is doing it on the behest of the Jew to work for him. He's hiring him for certain days of the week. Okay, so that's clear. We have sharecropping and rental. It's a difference of if it's normal, and people will assume that's what happened, versus a bathhouse where people will not assume that's what happened. They're going to assume he's just a regular hired worker, which is not allowed. Now, aval ha-chaluka ha-shlishis, but now there's a third aspect here to who kablonus. It's called kablonus, from the word kabel, to accept. Dahainu, which means the goy accepts to do all the work that's in the bathhouse for that year. However, v'shiu kol ha-ravachim, but all the profits that come out of the bathhouse, the Yisrael, go to the Jew. Rak accepts. She is strong, nice, and lady Yehuda, Dover HaKotzev. But the Jew gives the non-Jew a set amount, L'chol Shana, for a yearly basis, or a monthly basis, or a weekly basis, Avur Puloso for his work. Zehu Vadai Oser Midina. This is certainly not allowed, according to the law, Bamerchatz, in a bathhouse. We'll see, in a field not so simple. Not so simple. Why? Dahave eina Yehudi shlucha shalom. The non-Jew is a messenger of the Jew. The Yisrael nehena mimalachas b'Shabbos. And the Jew is benefiting from the work he's doing for him on Shabbos. Why? Dimlo yasa, if the non-Jew does not come in on Shabbos, yom echad, if he doesn't come in on one day, Shabbos, what happens? Yafsid Yisrael revach osa yom. The Jew loses the profit of that day. Every day, there's customers coming in. Every day, people using the bathhouse. We're not talking about customers who are browsing and don't buy. If you go in the bathhouse, every person goes in, pays $5. If nobody's in the bathhouse, it's locked, no one's making money that day. So clearly, even though you're paying him for every day, and you're not paying him on Shabbos, you're paying him on Friday, but the fact he worked on Shabbos and his working directly benefited from you because $500 was brought into the bathhouse on Shabbos and you're getting the $500 minus what the goy makes a straight fee for his services. So that's not allowed. Now, the commentary says that's only in a bathhouse because it's all new profit. Okay? In other words, bathhouse open, make money. Bathhouse closed, not. That's not as direct as it is in a field, right? The non-Jew is going to work the field, right? So the fact is, well, why does he have to work? No farmer has to work 7 days a week. There's only so much you could do in a field. So because the crops have to grow. Yeah, you could plow, right? But, you know, you don't have to plow every single day. You can, one day you don't have to plow, right? You know, it's a daily business, like a bathhouse. Every day you're open, it's directly measured the profit or no profit, if you're open or not. A field, if you don't work one day, the field can still very well get the job done. We're not talking about running a whole farm. feeding the pigs. And we're talking one thing specifically. There's a field that needs to get plowed, planted, harvested, this and that. And you know what? If he doesn't do it one day, let's say he decides, let's say a regular guy would want to work 8 hours a day on the field. Okay. Let's say a guy, you know, where's the whole idea of wanting to take off from work, getting weekends off? Why? Because you're working more during the other days. So the non-Jew, it's up to you. I need the work done. And I'm going to get all the profits. Now, but I'm not telling you, you have to work on Shabbos. You don't have to. If you want to have a long weekend, right? You want to take Saturday, Sunday off because you want to work harder. Not everybody works every day. Not every firm works every day. He doesn't want to work a certain day. So what's he going to do? Well, he's going to make sure whatever work needs to be done is going to be done. So the goy is doing it for his convenience, not for your convenience. So therefore, there's a reason to make a difference, unless there's other rabbinic issues. Okay? But theoretically, the goy can work as a paid worker for you in your field because you don't, the profit and loss is not directly related to working on Shabbos. If you have a store that's open on Shabbos, the profit and loss is directly related to working on the Shabbos. All right? So that's, so now we've got three issues over here. Again, arisus, sharecropping, schirus, renting out properties. If it's normal to do that, it's allowed. If people will suspect he's working for the Jew, rabbinically it's not allowed. If you're talking about the guy is working for you, that's what kablonus means over here. He's paid a daily wage for you. Then in a place where Shabbos brings in direct profits to you, because the non-Jew is working, it's not allowed. And if it's like a field, there's reason to say it's permitted, but we'll still see later on there is going to be machlokasim over there. Valkane, therefore, since the prohibition of renting out a thing, the bathhouse to the goy, is because normally it's not rented out. And even though you did, but people will suspect that he's working for you, so now it depends on the local custom. If the custom by bath in this city is most people rent out their bathhouses, and it's well known that people rent out their bathhouses, or do it on a percentage basis, the bathhouses, and then many people do that, as will be explained in Sif Beis, then the law of a bathhouse will now become like the law of a field. And therefore, the first two cases of sharing the profits or renting it out, mutter would be allowed even rabbinically because everybody knows that's what he's probably doing. But still, but that third case where the guy's working directly for you in the bathhouse, even though many people rent out the bathhouse or sharecrop the bathhouse, but this is not that case. It's your bathhouse. You're getting out all the profits. And then that would be, doesn't matter. It's always, so the bottom line is there's a rabbinic threshold, a biblical threshold, and a rabbinic threshold. So you can cross the biblical threshold, and then as long as there's no rabbinic threshold, you're okay. So you see now, arisus, sharecropping, and renting, always you've passed the biblical threshold. The question is, have you passed the rabbinical threshold? That will depend entirely upon what's the custom of the area. If it's customarily rented out, then fine. But if it's not customarily rented out, then we apply the rabbinic threshold. And the rabbinic threshold says, it looks like he's working for you. Even if he's not, it's not allowed. So the only permission of leniency of renting out to a goy in this siman, but you got to do it, I don't know how the English goes, like swallowing up, meaning to say, with the weekdays as well. Whereas I can rent my field, but it's on a yearly basis, on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis. But I can't rent them out for one day. Okay? But am I just renting it for one day? Right? Or if he rents it even for a week and he lists the days and Shabbos one of the days, usher, that's by law not allowed. A field, even a field, And even if it got any sparsame, and even if it's known, everyone knows it's a rental, and there's no maris ayin, still in all it's usher, because that's called schar Shabbos. You're getting paid for him using your field on Shabbos. Zeli Korea Dinim Simmons. These are the main laws, and now we're ready to look into the simmon next week. So very good. We've got good sound.